God, Acts 17, verse 24. God who made the world and everything in it. Hallelujah. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. God does not need anything. Since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwelling, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. Hallelujah. Last time we shared together, we talked about purpose. Everything in life has a purpose, and you are created for a purpose. In fact, Jesus said, for this purpose, for this cause, I came, that I might destroy the works of the wicked one. And everything has a purpose in life, whether it's something that moves or something that does not move, everything has a purpose. There's a purpose for the hairs in your nose. There's a purpose for the hair under your arms that you shave off. There's a purpose for everything. Now, not every purpose is known. And just because you don't know the purpose of something does not mean there is no purpose for that thing. Hallelujah. And last time we shared, we said that everybody has a purpose. You have a purpose, I have a purpose. God has a purpose in you. And God has a purpose in me. God has a purpose in nations, tribal people, ethnic groups. God has a purpose in every nation. And the Bible says, He's made from one blood every nation. Hallelujah. And has predetermined and pre-appointed their times and their boundaries. That means you are not here by accident. You're here by divine appointment. You don't live in Wanganui by accident. God predetermines where you live and pre-appoints your boundaries. Now, if you go out of those boundaries, you run straight into trouble. Because the blessing of God is confined to the parameters that He has appointed for you. There's a reason why you were born white. There's a purpose why you were born black. There's a purpose why you're Maori and not European. There's a purpose why I'm Samoan and not Tongan. Everybody has a purpose, and God pre-appoints our time. And if God does that, that means you are alive in the 21st century, because God knows you can handle the pressure of the 21st century. Don't say you can't handle it. God did not make a mistake, because God preappoints your age, your time, and the period in history that you live. And you are here by divine appointment, because God has a purpose, and God knows that you can handle the pressure that you face. Hallelujah. Now, we shared, last time I shared here, that there was one time when the Pharaohs ruled the world. I want to ask you a question. Are the Pharaohs ruling the world now? No. Why? Because God preappoints their time. Are the Caesars ruling the world now? No. Why? Because God preappoints their time. And when their appointment, their time is finished, now God may resurrect that, but When God is finished with something, hello? Media Persia, whose laws cannot be changed. Is there a media Persia today? Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. What happened? God preappoints people's times, people groups, where you live. It's not a mistake that the Maoris are the Tangatapreneur of this land. It's not God preappointed that. And it's not the party as they preappointed it. It's God. So don't get angry. Hello? I come from Samoa. God preappointed me to be a Samoan. But God also had a plan to bring me here. If I never came here, I probably would never be a Christian. I'd just be a religious coconut. Hallelujah. And God has a purpose for every people groups. It's called a redemptive purpose. There is a redemptive purpose for why you are white, and a redemptive purpose for why you are black. Redemptive purpose why you are born Scottish, not English. Hallelujah. Why we didn't invent this language that we all speak. It's a terrible language. But it's the only language we've got. The only language where we chop down a tree, then chop it up again. You just finished chopping the blinking thing down, now you're chopping it up. You think that's not... Try and stand in my shoes, try to learn that language. When you color with a brown crayon and then somebody turns up and says, I'm Mr. Brown. I'm brown. How can he Mr. Brown when I'm brown? You watch that Mind Your Language? Mr. Brown. He said, spell the word repeat. So they tried to spell repeat and they had every letter but the A before the last T. So Mr. Brown gave them a hint. I'll give you a clue. It's something before T. And a Pakistani said, breakfast. A very different perspective. He's looking for something before the last T. To the Pakistani, it's a meal. And so he said, breakfast. Hello? There is a purpose why sometimes you go through difficult times. When I was young, a little boy, 9 years old, I'll get up at about 4 o'clock in the morning and walk 4 hours to school. You can't even send a kid 4 minutes down the road today. I had to walk before it was even daylight. I walked 4 hours to school. I get there about 8, start school at 8, finish at 1. Then I walk back home, and I get home at about 5. My first bite of the day is 5 o'clock. And I'm walking home in the sun. You don't know what hunger is in New Zealand. You just get inconvenient, and you think you're hungry. But when you're walking home, you're not hungry. You're starving. And some of the reason why most Samoans overeat is because they starve most of the time because they only have 2 meals a day. And the body demands food because the body thinks it's the last meal you're going to have. Now they're in New Zealand, got 3 meals, and they think they still eat like that. So they... But there was a purpose why as a 9-year-old kid with no shoes and no umbrella and no change of uniform, one set of uniform, will walk to school on Monday and keep on walking till Friday. And even though my shirt was very dirty, I couldn't wash it because it may not dry for me to walk to school tomorrow. There was a purpose for that. There was a purpose why you were brought up with the Kumras and the rats. There was a purpose for that. Now, God did not... Sometimes God does not do those things. But by the time God finishes dealing with them, you think God offered it. Hello? We had a couple, and I shared it before. We had a couple in our church. I won't tell you. Some of you will know. Some of you will not know. But they just moved into their home. They were just trying to make ends meet. Young couple. I mean, he's just finished uni, looking for a job, trying to pay off a student loan and starting a family. And the house got burnt. And I came and I said, God, the house got burnt. And you know what he did? He picked up his guitar. There were firemen outside. There was water everywhere. Everything was damaged. Only thing that was salvaged was a few photographs and a violin. But he sat on the mailbox outside and started to sing praises to God in the middle of the night. And I thought, that's amazing. So I asked the church, if you could help this young couple out, that would be great. And the school put on a concert and raised some money for them. And they got a new house and new bed and new table, new chairs, new everything, new clothes. And by the time it's finished, that everything was new. You almost want to say, God, can you burn my house too? Now, God did not burn that house, but God can make beauty out of ashes and the oil of joy for mourning and give you the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And what the devil meant for evil, God means for good. And the devil may work to wreck everything. And God turn up and take your wreckage and make something so powerfully beautiful. You think God started it in the first place? No. Hallelujah. So whatever pain you go through, by the time God finishes with the pain, there's going to be a purpose in the pain, because God is an economical God and nothing will go to waste in God's program. Hallelujah. And we shared that last time we got together. Now, while we're there, I wanted you to turn to a scripture that will probably not make any sense to you. If you have a look at Numbers chapter 10. Genesis, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Numbers. All right. Numbers. Praise the Lord. Verse 29, Moses said to Hobab, the son of Reuel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, "We're setting out for the place in which the Lord said, 'I will give it to you.' Come with us and we will treat you well. For the Lord has promised good things to Israel." And he said to him, "I will not go, but I will depart to my own land and to my relatives." So Moses said, "Please, do not leave inasmuch as you know how we are to camp in the wilderness, and you can be our eyes, and it shall be if you go with us, indeed it shall be that whatever good the Lord will do to us, the same we will do to you." See, what has that got to do with anything? Now, if God has a purpose in a people group, God has a purpose in individuals, God has a purpose for countries. Hallelujah. God has a purpose for New Zealand. I think we haven't found that purpose, and if we did, we threw it away. So pray for our nation. Hallelujah. But here is Moses. Moses is taking God's people to the promised land. And Moses now is begging his father-in-law. He said, "Please come with us, and you can be our eyes." He said, now his father-in-law is black. He's a black man. And he said, "You're a black man, but you can be our eyes. Because you understand the wilderness. You understand where the snakes are, the serpents are. You know where to detour away from danger. And you know the wilderness because your life has not been easy. And you can be our eyes. Now this is the amazing thing. If that man, if he had gone with Moses, they would have got there in 11 days. Why? Because he was going to be the eyes of Israel. They've never been to a wilderness. They were born in slavery, but they don't know the way. And Moses said, come, you can be our eyes. Most of the time, it's the black man, it's the colored man that has a hard time. And the reason, there's a purpose. Even if the hard time did not come from people, it comes from the devil. But by the time God turns up, your eyes become that which enables everybody else to see. Why? Because your life has not been easy. It could have taken them only 11 days if that man had gone. But instead, it took 40 years. Don't hate the blacks. Don't despise the Maoris. Don't hate the whites. The Bible says, out of one blood, God made all men, and everyone has a purpose. The amazing thing with the black race is that it does not matter how much you pummel them, they still get up and sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind. I was blind, but now I see. Are you okay? Jesus blinded with blood, pummeled by the Romans, stumbling along. Heading to a mountain, to a hill, and a black man turned up, picked up his cross, and said, I'll be your eyes. If you can't see because of the blood, I'll be your eyes. I know where Calvary is. If you read Acts 13, there were teachers and prophets in the church in Antioch. Most of the people will read that and think, they're all white. Read again. Hello? The church was born international, interracial. Hello? Multicultural, multiracial. Speaking in tongues. And every difficult patch you go through, God has a purpose by the time He's finished. Like what Warren said yesterday to the people, your testimony can go online and somebody that may live in America can read your testimony, where you've been and where you are today. After God has dealt, that person in America will read your testimony, will look at it, and somehow God, he'll connect with God and get delivered. Why? Because your ashes not only becomes your beauty, your ashes becomes their beauty. Your mourning becomes their joy. Your hardship becomes their praise. Are you okay? And God has a purpose for why you are here and why you are alive. Why you were born in South America but live in Whanganui. Why I was born in Samoa and pastor in Whanganui. God has a purpose. God has a purpose when I was hungry as a young boy, walking to school with no shoes,
And the people that put their horses beside the road, the horses go, you know. I wasn't saved then. I thought it was a ghost. It's a horse. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Paul said, I comfort you. And the only reason I know how to comfort you is because in my own pain, God comforted me. And I comfort you the same way He comforted me. In my pain, I understand your pain. And I can comfort you in your pain because in my pain, He comforted me. Hallelujah. Are you all right? Now, purpose means original intent. When a manufacturer manufactures something, he already has an intention regarding the product that he's going to manufacture. Now, purpose is first established before the manufacturer starts. When Ford built a motor car, he first of all established, this is going to be a motor car ferro, a red motor car. This is going to be a motor car. And then he said, let's go and start and see how we can make it. But the purpose is first of all established. Hallelujah. Now the Bible says God establishes the end from the beginning. That means that God actually finished before He starts. Are you all right? So, the purpose is sealed and finished before God even starts to build. Just like Ford had set his purpose for a motor car before he even began to build the motor car. It's nobody built something and then I said, I wonder what this is for. I mean, that's silly. You don't just manufacture something. Well, I wonder what it's for. I don't know. No, your purpose is first established. And then the manufacturer goes back to the beginning and begins to build it. But as far as the manufacturer is concerned, it's done. Walt Disney established Disneyland before he built it. In fact, when he was a boy, all the kids were listening to the teacher and he'll be drawing something. The teacher comes along and says, well, what are you drawing? He said, I'm drawing a mouse. The teacher said, that doesn't even look like a mouse. You know what he said? That looks like a mouse to me. That teacher is dead, but that mouse is alive. The most famous mouse in the history of humanity is Mickey. That boy drew that mouse before he built the mouse. And then he understood the end of Disneyland before he even began. And when he died before they dedicated the thing. And people said to his wife, oh, Mrs. Disney, oh, it's not nice that your husband Walter never saw the thing. And she said, oh, but he did. The purpose is established before God starts. And God said, Jeremiah, before you were in your mother's womb, I set you as a prophet to the nations to build and to pull down. Now, before Jeremiah's dad met Jeremiah's mom, Jeremiah's purpose was sealed.
Now that's an amazing thing to understand. The Bible says the lamb was slain before the... Talk to me. Before the what? So before God even started to build the earth, as far as God's concerned, the lamb was slain. It's sealed. The Bible says, Paul says to the Colossians and to the Ephesians, and he said, you were chosen in him before the foundation. That means your purpose, God's original intent, God's desire for you, your purpose was sealed before God made the planet. So, if that's the case, and it is, then everyone that is sitting in here, the reason you're here is because your purpose is already sealed. You're not just here to occupy space and waste time. There is a reason why you're here. There is a purpose for you for being here. And if you don't know your purpose, don't ask your mom. Don't ask your friend. There are kids asking kids about sex. That's stupid. You go and ask the manufacturer. Hello? And if you don't know your purpose, it doesn't mean you haven't got any, but you need to go and ask the manufacturer, what is the reason I was created? Otherwise, all you do in life is eat McDonald's until you're fat, then die. You are a victim of the elements. You live purposeless. You go nowhere. You're unstable like the boat that James is talking about. Like the waters, you know, you don't know where you're heading. You're double-minded in everything because you don't know your purpose. There's a purpose for the event center. Build it. There's a purpose for why you're here. The purpose for this church. What is the purpose of this church? To build on Christ, to bond people in His love, and to reach another generation. Are you all right? Say amen. There's a purpose for why you're married to the person you're married to. You may think sometimes they are the extension of the Antichrist, but there's a purpose why. Man's countenance is sharpened by the countenance of his friend. Hallelujah. And there's a reason why you may be marrying somebody from another race. Hallelujah. Are you okay? I've got 16 minutes. There's a whole lot I can say in 16 minutes. Now, are you still in Numbers? All right, if you go over to Numbers 12. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman he had married. Now, how many know that Ethiopians are not white? So they have a problem because Moses married a colored woman. If you want to see somebody colored, go to Lake Wiritoa. There's going to be a parkhead pastor that's going to hop in the cold, and he's going to come out of that cold all colors of the rainbow. So sponsor him to get some colors. Like the black man said, them white folks are cheeky. When they are angry, they're red. When they're cold, they're purple. And hello. And they have the cheek to call me colored. They're more colored than I. It's all right, Warren. But here, they had a problem because their brother, who's younger than them, is married to a black woman. So the two older siblings were angry. So they said, verse 2, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. Now, it's very unfair of God. Very unfair. Because God hears complaints faster than he hears prayers. I mean, you pray and you wonder if God hears some of your prayers. But the moment you complain, he hears it. He hears it quicker. Hallelujah. You know, Zechariah has been praying for years. Lord, give Elizabeth a baby. And God just ignored the prayer. Now they are old. And God turned up. And Gabriel said to him, your prayer's answered. And Zechariah said, my prayer's answered. I prayed millions of prayers that have not been answered. Which prayer is answered now? The baby prayer. The baby prayer, I'm too old. And he couldn't even believe that God had to shut his face. Shut his mouth. God had to shut him up. Because if he keeps on talking the way he was talking, John the Baptist would never have been born. So he was muted for 9 months. And then Elizabeth finally found out that she's pregnant. And she went and hid herself for 6 months. Why? What would you expect if an old lady turned up? They probably thought, what happened? Hello? How come God never answered that prayer when they were young? And then God did something so terrible. He went down to the road and found a girl who's never had a kiss or a date. And she got pregnant. What? The other one, the shop has been closed for so long. This one, the shop has not even been open. Hello. One is a well, the other one is a cistern. You thought, Pastor, where did you get that from? Hallelujah. I've got 11 minutes. Hallelujah. Are you okay? God is good. It says this, drink water from your own cistern and running waters from your own well. Should your fountain be disturbed abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be only your own and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. Now there are four things in that verse. There's assistance, a well, a fountain, and a river.
The sister is a virgin. No one has known her. One day, she's going to be open. Her water is going to come out. She's going to be a well. But the fountain is not talking about the woman. The fountain is talking about the man. He says, let your fountain be blessed, and don't let the rivers and the waters of your fountain be dispersed all over the streets. It's only there for your spouse. So, Mary was a cistern. Elizabeth was a well. The well was old. The cistern has not been opened. God gave the well a baby, and God gave the cistern a baby. But there was a purpose why God delayed and why God was early. Hello. Let your fountain be blessed. When Abraham wanted a wife for his son, he sent his servant Eliezer. And Eliezer met the wife at a well. When Jacob went to Paddan Aram, he met his future wife at a well. When Moses went to Midian, he met Zipporah at a well. Jesus came by and met the Samaritan woman at a well. The Bible says, with joy we shall draw waters out of the wells of salvation. Are you well? Are you doing right well? Hello? But there is a purpose for everyone. And the Bible says there is a purpose for everything under the sun. And you and I have a purpose. If you don't know the purpose of something, you don't ask the something. You ask the someone who invented the something. If you don't know your purpose, don't ask your friend. Don't ask your professor. Don't ask your teacher. Ask the one that made you. He will tell you why you're here. And when you find your purpose, you are going to live a very fulfilled life. He came to give you life, and life more abundantly. The blessing of God makes rich, and there's no sorrow in that riches. If there is sorrow in your riches, it's not the blessing of God. The blessing of God makes rich. Don't just term rich in terms of money. I come from a very, very rich, wealthy family. The only problem is we didn't have any money. But the blessing of God makes you rich. And God will not add sorrow with His riches. Hallelujah. Find your purpose. And live a fulfilled life. Hallelujah. Now, when a person finds their purpose, all that before was just a foundation. This is a sermon. It'll take me 2 minutes. When a person finds their purpose makes them restrict their freedom. There are things other kids will do that you will not do. Why? Because you have a purpose. When they said to Daniel, I want you to eat the king's meat and drink his wine, the Bible says Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself. Now he could have eaten, all the other kids were eating the same food, but he said, not me.
There are things that are legitimate that you can actually do legitimately. But you won't. You will restrict yourself because there's a higher purpose for your life. Now, if that is your desire, because my time is up. You say, I'm going to restrict myself because I know God has a higher purpose for me. You're called with a higher calling. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the higher purpose of God. Amen. Bible says Jesus said this, I sanctify myself for the sake of the disciples. He said, for your sake, I sanctify myself. I said, you're God. How can you sanctify yourself? How can God sanctify God? He's already sanctified. He's holy. He's pure. He's righteous. Now, how can he say that? There are things Jesus could have done legitimately. There was nothing wrong with them. But he restricted himself for the sake of the disciples. That's what Paul said. If my eating meat is going to cause somebody to stumble, I'm going to restrict myself. I'll never eat meat. Why? So nobody, he restricted himself. Why? For the higher purpose of God. If that's your desire, I want you to stand where you're sitting. He that has this hope sanctifies himself. You restrict yourself because of the purpose of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just open your heart to the Lord. Ponder your own life. It's a transaction between you and the Holy Spirit. Transaction between you as a person. When you know your purpose, everything will fall in its place. Your money will not be a burden. Your family will not be a burden. Because you know your purpose and that which God has called you to do. For the glory of the King, the extension of His kingdom. You're not here by accident. You're here by divine appointment. You're living at this time in life and in history, not because God made a mistake, but God knows, pre-appointed you and I to be alive. Set our boundaries, our ears. The devil can't kill you before it's time for you to go. The devil could kill you. You've been dead when you were a kid. The devil has been trying to kill you, but God's been watching over you. Hallelujah. And the reason is God has a purpose for your life. That purpose was sealed before your mom met your dad. Ask God. Open the eyes of my understanding. Even Paul had to write to the church in Ephesus and say, I pray that God will open the eyes of your understanding, that you will know. You'll know your inheritance, the manifold wisdom of God, the glorious grace of God for your life and for your church, for your city. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for each one standing, that you will present us without fault before your throne. You will guard us and keep us from falling. And you will open our eyes to see the reason, the purpose, the whys of why we are here, why we are alive at this time. Thank you for revealing who you are to us. Thank you for revealing your purposes to us. But for those who don't know, I pray that you will reveal to them. And Father, we stand here today, make a commitment to you that because of that purpose, we will restrict our freedom. Now, whatever area you think God is putting His finger on, I want you to commit that area of your life to God. Say, God, have your way. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in my life. There are times when my attention is taken by so many things. You are clouded out because my focus is scattered. Help me to keep my focus on the right thing. Just pray that between you and God this morning. Hallelujah. To the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord makes His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lifts up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. May God bless your coming in and your going out. May God bless your rising up and sitting down. May God bless your homes. God bless your children. God bless your pantries. God bless your finances. May you know the blessing of God that makes rich and adds no sorrow. Father, dismiss us with your blessing. May the peace of God Almighty, the love of Christ, and the fellowship of your Spirit be with us today and always. And everyone say, amen.